Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
We're about to read the longest letter that was written to any of the seven churches. And it begins in Revelation 2, verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first." Notice it doesn't say better, it just says more. "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you according to your works. Now I say to you and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my word until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. As I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, there are some changes that took place in the address to the churches in this letter. First of all, we have the smallest city that is being written to receives the longest letter. Do not think that you are insignificant to God. Do not think that because you can't give untold wealth to the work of the kingdom that you're insignificant to God. Do not think that because you aren't called to stand up here behind a pulpit that you are insignificant to God. Barbara leaned over and told me a while ago after she spoke up here, she said, "I don't know how you do that every Sunday." She said, "My heart is still about to jump out of my chest." Do not think that whomever you are and how little you think that you can do for the kingdom that you are insignificant to God, because your significance is determined by God's plan for your life. And your value is based upon what someone is willing to give for you. And let's be reminded that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever, and by the way, do you know what the word whosoever means in the Greek? Are you ready for this? It means whosoever, okay? Whosoever. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. You are important to him. This church is important to him. This church, this church in Thyatira was in a city that was an outpost city. It was about 30 miles from Pergamos, which we learned last week was a capital city. Now, an outpost city had this kind of responsibility. An outpost city was to slow down an enemy if they were attacking the capital. An outpost city was to be there to be destroyed, if necessary, to save the capital. An outpost city was there, and if reinforcements could come and get there, there would be relief. But primarily, an outpost city was there to be destroyed and rebuilt and destroyed and rebuilt. And sometimes the church gets attacked, and the enemy thinks that it has been destroyed, and it comes back. It comes back. You see, the church is not a what, it's a who. The church is the bride of Christ. And the church is an organism, not an organization. Unlike all the organizations and associations that you may belong to, the church is an organism, and the Bible says that you are a part of it to make it complete and to make it function. Now, other organizations try to become organisms, but they can't do that because they were not established on the living Word of God and upon the Savior. And so we have this city that was known for its copper and its silver and its purple fabric. Now, you may remember that there was a lady by the name of Lydia that the Apostle Paul encountered and led her to the Lord. And Lydia was from Thyatira. They were known for that. They were kind of a mercantile city. The city is called Akistar now, a little community that's there close to where Thyatira once existed, but the church is not there. It's not there. As a matter of fact, the last time there was a Christian church there was in 1922. That's not that long ago. And it was removed. Maybe you think you're insignificant. Maybe you think you're like a man by the name of Gideon, who was hiding out, preparing some food for his family, and the angel of the Lord came and appeared to him and wanted him to defeat the Midianites to lead the Israelites into battle against the Midianites. He said, "But I am so insignificant. My father's family is insignificant, and we come from the smallest tribe." And God said to him through that angel, "You shall defeat the Midianites as if you were just one man." You are important to God. This church, in spite of where it was, in spite of being just an outpost city that the capital city didn't mind giving up and sacrificing, the Bible teaches us that it was very significant. Now, in our look at these cities, we start up from Ephesus and we go up, and now we have started turning downward, and we're about 30 miles south and east of Pergamos there in Asia Minor, which is today's Turkey. Now, I want you to think with me. Look at this next slide. I want you to think with me about the church at Thyatira. In spite of how good the report card starts out, it ends up bad. And that's why I've entitled it, Sleeping with the Enemy. Oh, how easy it is for the church to sleep with the enemy these days. How easy it is for the church to want to be in the world and be of the world instead of like the Lord intends for it to be. And be in partnership with the world. It's very difficult to keep a balance between today's contemporary times and reaching people where they are like Jesus did, but not leaving them there. It's very difficult to achieve that balance. And Thyatira had not achieved that balance. Do you remember taking your report card in and showing? You remember in the days before the computer when mom and dad could just jump on there and they could see your daily grades? God bless you, children. Can't get away with anything these days, can you? Bless your heart. But back in my day, they gave you your report card and you carried it home. And you were supposed to get your parents to sign it. Now, what you did if you were Julian Gordon is you, after your parents signed it the first 6 weeks, then you tried to fake their signature the rest of the time. That's what Linda told me anyway, Julian. But so did you ever get your report card? Those of us who had to take them home and get parents to sign them, and you kind of held your finger over the grade you didn't want them to see, and you let them see, you know, that you got an A in your basket weaving class, and you got an A in sweeping out the dressing rooms. You got an A for showing up for these things. And then the classes that mattered, your dad said, move your thumb, son. And you began to look at the rest of the grades. The angel writing to John said, I want you to notice this. Said, I know your works. Love. Now, hold that thought. Just hold that word right there. This is the only church out of the seven that their love is acknowledged. Isn't that interesting? And we want to be known as a church that loves. And we're supposed to love. But if love is all there was, then 1 Corinthians would have started with the 13th chapter, by the way. There has to be more than that. I know your love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. And we can stack up a lot of credits over here on all the good things that we may try to do and all the love that we may try to show. But if that's all there is, we're in trouble. I want you to look at these three things. Here's what the angel said. Have a problem with your tolerance, your false teaching, and you need to know, because you won't repent, you're running out of time. Running out of time. Tolerance. You know, we keep hearing that we're supposed to be tolerant. Now, let me tell you what has to happen if you are going to be tolerant of something. You have to change what you believe. You have to change what you believe if you're going to be tolerant. And if you are going to tolerate something that the Bible says is wrong, you got to change your belief about, well, is the Bible right or not? And I want to share something with you. In case you haven't heard this announcement, the Bible is not wrong. Now, you and I, we can get wrong. We can be wrong. But the Bible is not wrong. And here in this city, in this city where they had all these different unions, now they were called guilds. Now, perhaps you're familiar with that term more. And so they had, you had your coppersmiths and your silversmiths, and you had your weavers of fabric that could produce purple. And purple was such a rare color to be able to come by that it brought a high price. And so if you were going to be with the end group and get the most for your product, you needed to be accepted into this guild. And so since the world that they lived in and the city that they lived in where this church was established was in a city that and a world that is so full of pagan rituals and worshiping all these Greek gods that insisted upon you being sexually immoral in order that you could become spiritually pure. Boy, that's a contradiction, isn't it? In order for you to do that, you have to pass all these tests. You have to be involved in all these things. You have to do what we want you to do, or we're not going to accept you in. And not only will you not get as much for your product, but you may not be able to sell it at all. Amazing how the love of money ruled then and still rules today. I didn't forget what I was going to say. I'm trying to keep from saying something that I probably shouldn't about one of the candidates and money. But anyway. And the pay for play. Oh boy. Anyway. Old Vance Havner, the old evangelist that's gone home to be with the Lord, says some people who profess to know Jesus, they go up like a rocket and fall like a rock. Does that describe anyone here this morning? Oh, you really bought into God's word, but then when you got to getting into all of God's word, you backed up from that. But you still enjoy coming to church because you enjoy the social interaction, and you enjoy fellowshipping, and you enjoy laughing, and you enjoy some recognition sometimes. But here we have a church that was tolerating anything and everything immoral. Now here's what happens whenever you tolerate something. It doesn't just remain you're tolerating it. It becomes a part of you. Here was the problem they had with sleeping with the enemy. Their false doctrine, their false teaching that they had. They had no substance to their belief. They had a heart that was full and a head that was empty. Now the church at Ephesus had a head that was full and a heart that was empty. They had left their first love. The church at Thyatira, they said love is all there is. Did you know that love can become a poison? Did you know that love can ruin? If all you do and all you say is, well, we just love, we just love, we just love. And that's what we need to do. When Jesus was at the well and sent his disciples on in to town, and this Samaritan woman came out there in the middle of the day to get her water, did Jesus say, you're a woman and a Samaritan woman, I'm a man, I'm a Jewish man, you need to wait till I leave because that's just the way that it's taught? Did Jesus say that? No, he didn't. Did Jesus say to her, well, look, I know all about you and what a wicked woman you are. And whenever you decide to change your life, why don't you come back and talk to me, because I'm the Savior of the world. You know what Jesus did? He balanced truth and love. Do you know what the Bible says that you and I are supposed to be. We're supposed to be like salt. Now, I read something interesting about salt. Now, some of you that have your chemical engineers degrees, you may have to come correct me, but what I read, I thought I checked out, and that this is right, that salt is made up of sodium and chloride, two poisons. But whenever you put them together, they're not poison. Now, some of you say, oh, yeah, Brother Dan, you know, people don't need all that much salt. No, let's don't go there, okay? You understand the point I'm trying to make. And if all we are is a church of just doctrine and we're going to, you know, you sit still while I instill, and we're going to pound on you. I saw a church with an interesting name. I was curious about it. I wonder if I would visit that church. Next Level Church. Well, I wonder what you mean by that, next level. And so I'm not trying to judge them. It just made me curious, because there are churches that if you want to be at the next level of spiritual growth, you'll come over to us and we'll teach you, because we're all about doctrine. Now, they're not about loving. They're not about helping. They're not about serving. If we're all doctrine, it's like poison. If we're all love and just whatever you want to do is fine, and the Bible doesn't condemn that. And by the way, the Bible doesn't condemn sin just because it hates it. It does. But you know why the Bible, you know why God hates sin? Because what it does to us. Because it kills us and sends us to an eternity in hell. The very best that sin can do for me is to kill me and send me to an eternity in a place called hell. Because of sin, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and paid the price for my sin, shed his blood for my sin. So when it comes to sin, God still feels the same way about it he always did. He's against it. He is against it. And so the church was guilty of all its false teaching. And Jesus said, and you're running out of time. Now, this Jezebel, who's this Jezebel? There are some that believe, really, one of the beliefs is that the angel to the church, that he who writes to the angel of the church, that the angel is actually the word, it's the word messenger, and it means the pastors of the churches. And so there is one theory that the Jezebel in the church is the pastor's wife. So those of y'all that are in Dana's Sunday school class, you know it's not her. But anyway. And so that's one theory. There's another theory that, now by the way, you do know who Jezebel is. You know, from the Old Testament. Jezebel, who was married to Ahab, who was considered the most wicked king that Israel ever had, and she brought idolatry and Baal worship into Israel and mixed it with the worship of Jehovah God and ended up trying to eradicate the worship of Jehovah God. That's who Jezebel is in a nutshell. You also need to read what happened to her, because what happened to her happened is exactly what the Bible said and the prophet prophesied would happen to her. And it wasn't good. And so this Jezebel, some think maybe it was the wife of the pastor of that church. Some think that it was possibly even Lydia, who the seller of purple, who was in Macedonia, met up with Paul and became a follower of Christ. And then she came back to Thyatira, and she got in with these with some of these guilds, and she began to teach a corrupt theology, and so some people think that it was her. Now, I don't know where they get that. There's no biblical evidence for that. Some think that it was a term for some lady in the church, And perhaps her name was Jezebel, or perhaps she was just like a Jezebel, and she called herself a prophetess, and she had a new word from God, and she began to teach these things in the church. And she was a very influential person in the church. And then there's some that believe that it's simply a reference to the church itself beginning to connect itself so much with the world that they lived in there, and with all the pagan rituals, that it began to teach that as the way to salvation, and that the church itself was literally the Jezebel. But there were a few people in the church that continued to stand up for God's word and for Christ as the Savior. So you just take your pick there. But I want to tell you this. It's not so much who she was as what she did. And what she did was contrary to the word of God. And what she did was something that needed to be repented of. And what she did was something that she was given time to repent. And what she did was refuse to repent. And so the Bible says that God condemned her and brought judgment on her and brought tribulation on all of those who followed that way. Now, is there anything in my life, in your life, in this church, is there anything that God has been saying to us, we need to repent? We need to repent. You know, folks, there is a God, whether we want to believe that or not. And there is a God who loves us enough to die on the cross at Calvary, whether you want to believe that or not. One of the most documented things in the Word of God, and one of the most documented things outside of the Word of God, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So for anyone in here this morning who is doubting and you're struggling with whether or not there even is a God, you still have to do something with Jesus. So what are you going to do with him? Going to just throw him out? You know what? You need to look at the evidence. And the evidence defies imagination. The evidence defies us being able to understand it. The evidence is something that by faith you must accept. Church family, do not let the doctrine of the world creep in and take away what the Bible says. The world says, oh, you don't have to give to the church. You don't have to give. I mean, you're free from the law. Well, by the way, giving started, tithing started well before the law was instituted. Oh, you don't have to go to church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some. If everyone came to church as often as you come to church, would there still be a church? I want you to think with me about 52 weeks from right now. How many of these services are you going to miss? And how many of these services, if you have children or grandchildren, you're going to take them out of it? There's 52 of them. Are you going to be here for all 52? Or how many are you going to miss? Well, Brother Danny, we've got vacation. Okay, understand that. Well, Brother Danny, we've got these other things we're involved in. Okay. We're going to be sick some. All right. So let's do this. You're going to miss once a month? Once a month? You're down to 40. Going to miss twice a month? So subtract 24 from 52. Because you've got things going on. Well, there's some times that in addition to that, I'm going to be gone on vacation, or we might be sick, or, you know, something will come up. So you're down to less than half the time And when you're gone, your children are going to follow you. And when they get to where they have children and they have things to be involved in, and they're going to be gone, is there still going to be a church here?
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, a ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.